Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hi, Santa Rosa County. I'm your District 2 and Board of County Commissioners Chair, Kerry Smith. It is my privilege to bring you the 2024 State of the County Address.
Over the past year, we've made great strides in improving the lives of our residents, advancing infrastructure, and fostering economic growth.
Yeah, the State of the County Address, something that you heard there, Kerry Smith, who's the chairman. They put this out last week, and I thought, we don't do enough of the, like, what's happened in the last year. It's real easy to talk about what's happened in the last week or what's going on right now, but sometimes we don't think back about things that have been accomplished over the course of time. Brad Baker, who's the Santa Rosa County Administrator, whenever there's a Monday meeting, what there was yesterday, we like to have him on Tuesday. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And first thing, I'm going to brag on you for a second, although I'm sort of bragging on the board a little bit too, but yesterday's meeting was, oh my God, the most boring thing ever. And that's a compliment.
Hey, we appreciate that.
It's no Milton, thank God. And there have been times in the past when the meetings were not super boring and not necessarily good all at the same time. So well done. There was not a single sound clip that I felt the need to grab from the meeting yesterday because it was, no controversy almost at all. But I did want to give you a chance, and so administering over a time of peace and prosperity and contentment is it's hard to get used to. But let's talk a little bit about the things that have been done in the county over the last year. When you look back over this last year, which you've been the administrator for a little more than a year.
Yeah, it's been an exciting year. I think some of the things that Kerry hit, nailed it on the head with our State of the Union kind of speech there that he gave. But some of the things that I starting on the Bar Beach, we just finished our renourishment project. So, mm-hmm. That not only extends the amount of beach that we have, but it really helps stabilize that barrier island out there. And that's big for our tourism, big for the people who live out there. And then, we've expanded a lot of our recreational opportunities. We have our pickleball courts up and running, which seem to be a very big hit. We have those at the bar and at the para complex now. We've made progress on the Woodbine Road. At least the southern end of that, and we had a couple of delays in that, but we should be seeing that wrapping up in the near future. Our economic development is just thriving, whether it's Buffalo Rock, Percy's, Damien's. We have the big project coming with Leonardo. They're getting really close to their phase one of that project and talking about future phases coming here.
That's at Whiting Field for those who aren't. That's a huge project up at Whiting, right?
Yeah, that Whiting Aviation Park is big, and we've got some interest from other companies. That's a unique opportunity that started back with Commissioner Salter years ago, working that out with the Navy and DOD, being able to utilize that runway for some limited flights in. Just a lot of exciting stuff. A lot of challenges still ahead. With our legislative delegation talking about additional property tax exemptions and really limiting our ability to have revenue sources is a challenge when you have all these infrastructure projects and you're trying to move Santa Rosa County forward. And so lots of challenges ahead, but a lot of good stuff accomplished in the last year as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, it is. It's just nice to look back over what's been done, and notice a, handful or significant number of the wins that have taken place, and they are. So I congratulate you on that. And also on the, year or so roughly, I think, as a county administrator. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about is not a news item per se, but it's just something that I really care a lot about. I hate chain link fences. Just in general, they're so ugly. But I especially hate them when I see them around retention ponds, stormwater ponds. And it's something that I probably wouldn't have thought much about, except because my wife and I go bike riding all the time. We are recently, for the last, almost probably a year or more, we've been biking in Baldwin County, Orange Beach and Foley and that area in Alberta. And they don't have them. their retention ponds, their stormwater ponds. There are a handful of exceptions. But for the most part, they don't have them. And I want to talk with you about that a little bit because, you know, Escambia and Santa Rosa do. And I'm trying to fix that problem. We've got Brad Baker on the line. Brad, hang on for just a second. Let's get a quick traffic report from John Pickens. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just small delay on 98 just east of Navarre Beach Bridge through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Okay, Brad, now I know you don't make policy, you just enforce policy. Okay, so this is really, I'm talking to you even though it'd be the county commissioners, but you're the one I have in front of me. I think these chain link fences look ugly, they dilapidate quickly, and they rob us of an amenity, which is, you know, beautiful looking ponds. And when I'm in Baldwin County, particularly, the ponds are decorative, they have fountains. If they don't have fountains, they at least look nice. The communities look better, period, whereas the chain link fences always make the communities look trashier and worse. So why do we have chain link fence requirements? And maybe just start by, like, is it even on all retention ponds, or is it only on some private? What is the rule right now in Santa Rosa?
Yeah, so the rule for Santa Rosa County is that if you have a public pond, that it must have a chain link fence around it. We don't have that requirement if it's private. But I will tell you, I just passed one here at Dogwood and Berry Hill. It's a very deep pond. It's really big slopes to get to it. It's a wet pond. There's water in it all the time. I would say in the early 90s, and I can't remember when, it was back when I was, you know, in the public safety arena. I was actually on an ambulance, and we had a young kid drowned in a pond. Mm-hmm. And it was, I believe it was actually fenced, but it had a gap in it, et cetera. And that really, it's a public safety issue when you have, especially you have a wet pond, and you have big slopes in it. And so that's kind of the public safety concern of that you're trying to deter small children, especially, from going into that pond, and, you know, they get away from their parents, and then we have a drowning. I do think there has been a lot of discussion amongst our citizens talking with me about what does that look like. You know, we have that LDC task force. I don't know that that's going to be what. And, I mean, we are talking stormwater, and that would fall into that that section of the land development code. But I think that's the main challenge, is just how do you balance that public safety? I have seen a lot that you're talking about. They're aesthetically pleasing. You have a walking trail around it, some benches around it. I think if you could get the slope right to where it's a gradual walk into that pond, I do think there would be some, you know, potentially interest in our county and looking at something like that. We were actually working on a project in Holly by the Sea, and we had discussions with their team that had approached us about a hazard mitigation project in there to consider that an aesthetically pleasing pond with a walking trail and benches, et cetera, yeah, like you were discussing.
And I know, you know, in Escambia County, there's like the Dreamland Skate on Olive has right behind there is a very big retention pond with a track around it and a bench and a tree, and it's a beautiful facility, and it does not have a chain link fence, which is, I mean, it's wonderful. Yeah, and certainly I understand that's been the argument, is that, you know, it's a safety factor. I just feel like, you know, we are a water-based community. We have rivers and lakes and ponds all over the place, and we're not going to put chain link fences up around the Sound and on the beach and around the Blackwater River, and rightly so. You know, I obviously hate to see when somebody gets hurt, or certainly, God forbid, a child dies, but that to me is ultimately the parents' responsibility, is to not let their, you know, their children run around. I'm with you on the slope. I can see that some slopes would be a little bit more dangerous than others. It's so stark. It is so stark when you drive around Santa Rosa and Escambia County, and it just looks so bad. And you drive around Baldwin County, and it looks so good by comparison. You know, it's such a night and day kind of contrast. So, but you say there's been, you know, maybe the LDC task force might look at this, and there's some interest among the citizens, and, you know, has county commissioners, and obviously, you know, you talk with them all the time. Have they expressed an interest to you, or an even a curiosity about that question?
I've had a couple that at least would like to consider it and look at some of the challenges of implementing that and what it would look like if we changed it. And I think there's a lot more discussion that we had. I will tell you another thing that we talk about pet peeves. One of mine is putting a huge holding pond on a prime piece of property on road frontage. Why don't we put the pond a little further off? So you'll see that in the Woodbine road widening there at Highway 90 and Woodbine. The pond is going to be on the back of the parcel, thus allowing a prime commercial spot there. I mean, but other spots could be residential. I look along the state highways, and we have these huge holding ponds, and they're eating up our prime real estate, where if they were in the back of the property, then the eyesore of the chain link fence, you wouldn't have come to your attention.
Right. And I agree with you in terms of, you know, making the right kind of property more usable. And I actually think a lot of these subdivisions that we bike through, it's kind of funny. If you call it a stormwater, retention pond, you kind of have one picture of what it should be. If you call it a community lake, you have a different picture of what it should be. Yeah. And that's what a lot of them have is like,
you call it an amenity, it looks different.
Right, right. It, you don't have to have a gated community when you have lakes out front and then it's beautiful and fountains. I mean, like, it just is amazing the difference in if you think about it as a plus instead of as a have to, because they all are doing the same thing. Even in the middle of communities where you have backyards that go down to these practically dry canals that are obviously retention ponds and or, movement of water facilities. It's a different mindset over there. And that's why I was kind of wanted to ask you about it. Well, Brad, I appreciate the time and, kind of an extended discussion of what I think is an interesting issue. And obviously I want everything to be functional and beautiful and, wonderful. And I know you do too. Brad, thanks so much for the time, what you do with the county. I appreciate it. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Sir, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They're Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Febreze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust Febreze Car Vent Clips, featuring 3 distinct intensity settings, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with Febreze Car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up! Oscar! La, 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 la.
Jordan B. Peterson, We Who Wrestle With God Tour.
If you say the truth and nothing else, you'll have an immense adventure as a consequence. You won't know what's going to happen to you, but the truth will reveal the world the way it's intended to be revealed, and the consequence for you will be that you'll have the adventure of your life.
Live at Pensacola Bay Center, March 19th. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson from the Pensacola Downtown Improvement Board. I am filling in for Andrew McKay. Andrew, he got temporarily suspended from X, formerly known as Twitter, for accidentally posting a poll that suggested that Tesla should make a minivan. So Elon kicked him off. But he'll be back with us next week, and so we'll look forward to that. It's good to be back here today, and we've got quite a show lined up. Talk a little bit about what's going on downtown now, and we'll jump into the NCAA March Madness bracket in the next half hour, and then we've got some guests lined up that are going to call in. But again, like I said, I work for the Pensacola Downtown Improvement Board, and it's a local taxing authority, essentially a small version of, you know, a city or county government that is downtown. We cover 44 blocks, and all those property owners inside the Downtown Improvement Board area pay an extra $2 mils on their property tax every year, and that's how we are mostly funded. And we try and keep downtown clean, keep it safe, and try and give people a reason to come downtown and promote the businesses that we have in the downtown area. We've been in existence since the early 70s, and we try and do our best to utilize those tax funds that we do get from the downtown property owners that pay a little extra in property tax to make your experience downtown a little bit better when you get down there. And I think we're going to jump over to some news real quick, and we'll be right back with you with David.
President John F. Kennedy.
David's busy right now.
David is busy. He's got it going on over there. But again, I know if you've lived in this community for a while, you've heard of the Downtown Improvement Board. Most likely, if you're new, you know, it's an organization that we, again, we've got a cleaning crew that's out downtown 7 days a week. They're downtown right now. They usually get to work between 4 a.m. and 4:30 every day and are cleaning the sidewalks, pressure washing, and all that good stuff. So when you get down there, it's nice and clean for you. And so we also run, if you've been downtown on a Saturday, we run the Palafox Market, and that runs every single Saturday except Mardi Gras from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have over 200 vendors, and we hope that you're able to make it down there one Saturday, especially this Saturday coming up. Hopefully the weather holds out for us. But now we will go to David in the newsroom.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Today is a big day. Files related to the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy are being released. Speaking while he was taking a tour of the Kennedy Center yesterday, President Trump said 80,000 pages are going to be released. He said a lot of Americans have been asking for this report for a long time. Amazon Echo will soon be sharing information with Amazon servers, and users apparently cannot opt out. The Do Not Send voice recordings feature will come to an end on March 28th. The company spokesperson says they're expanding Alexa's capabilities with generative AI that relies on the processing power of Amazon's secure cloud. And two astronauts that have been stranded on the International Space Station are on their way home. Sonny Williams and Butch Wellmore officially wrapped up their 9-month stay on the space station overnight. They're returning to Earth on a SpaceX Dragon capsule that docked at the station over the weekend. Splashdown time for that is set for just after 5 p.m.
All right. Thanks, David. Again, we were talking about the Downtown Improvement Board, where I work the executive director of that and have been since late 2020. I actually started 2 weeks before Hurricane Sally hit. So that was a nice welcome to downtown Pensacola. But again, you know, we were talking about the Palafox Market. We've got over 200 vendors that are down there on any given Saturday. Again, we run that Palafox Market 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we have a trolley that we've been running that we've gotten some good feedback on. From each location. So we're up at MLK Plaza right there on Palafox between Wright Street and Garden Street. So imagine Palanza's Bistro, First United Methodist Church, all the way down to where Pensacola News Journal was. I think most folks kind of still know that location there, or the federal courthouse is on the other corner. And we've been in that location for, I guess, May will be 17, 18 years, somewhere in there. And then just a little over a year ago, we opened up our second location thanks to help from Mayor Reeves and City Council for lifting an event ban on Plaza Ferdinand, the park next to Jackson's on South Palafox, Palafox and Government Street. We're operating out of there, and we've got another 50 to 60 vendors that we had on the wait list for some over 2 years trying to get into the Palafox market on a regular basis. And so we finally got that park opened and have been able to activate that space on Saturdays and really try and utilize those funds to, you know, put back into the parks. We're currently still paying for some restrooms that we're putting in at the Palafox market so we can avoid renting, you know, portable bathrooms, I guess. I lost my words there. So hopefully we'll have some permanent structures in here before summertime and have something that looks a little nicer out there. But this is Walker Wilson with the Downtown Improvement Board. We'll be back after this break.
I'm Chris Foster. A ceasefire is over in Gaza among more than 400 people reported killed and Israeli airstrikes or Hamas officials and civilians, including children.
Israel's defense minister saying this, quote, the decision comes after Hamas repeatedly refused to release our hostages and rejected all proposals presented by U.S. President's envoy, Steve Witkoff, as well as the mediators. And Israel says that it will continue to lay out this military pressure, something that it says it will do as long as necessary.
Fox's Alex Hogan. President Trump will be speaking with Russia's President Putin today.
The call between the two leaders comes after a week of negotiations. That began when the United States and Ukraine agreed on a plan for a 30-day ceasefire. We could soon find out if Russia is ready to sign on to it too.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 47 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Two NASA astronauts who spent a whole lot longer aboard the International Space Station than they originally planned are now finally on their way home.
Overnight, Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore officially wrapped up an unexpected nine-month stay aboard the ISS that was a result of issues with their Boeing Starliner spacecraft. They're returning to Earth in a SpaceX capsule that docked at the station over the weekend. If all goes according to plan, the splashdown off the Florida coast is expected just before 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. Well, some Tallahassee residents were holding a protest yesterday. They wanted to make sure the Trump administration doesn't cut Social Security benefits. There were over 100 people gathered outside of the Tallahassee Social Security Administration office on Monday. One woman said she was worried that President Trump and Elon Musk would take away her chance to die with dignity. Another woman called Social Security her lifeline. Well, that protest again held yesterday in Tallahassee. Well, jobs are up across the state of Florida. That from a report released yesterday. It shows the state added over 16,000 jobs in January. That is a gain of 0.2%. Governor DeSantis says Florida continues to prove leadership and conservative fiscal policies do drive success. On the downside, the seasonally adjusted unemployment rate was 3.5% for January. Well, in Alabama, devastating storms impacted 52 of their 67 counties on Saturday. State Attorney General Steve Marshall urging residents to remain vigilant against potential fraud as the state and its residents recover. Governor Kay Ivey declared a state of emergency, activating Alabama's price gouging laws to protect consumers from unfair pricing. Marshall is also advising homeowners there to verify contractors' licenses and obtain written contracts. Well, Miami-Dade's mayor is urging the county to shell out an extra $10.5 million for the 2026 World Cup. Even if that means a slight reduction in services, World Cup co-chair Rodney Barreto says all money invested comes back tenfold.
It's going to take place in July of 26 when typically the town is empty. We need the hotel business. This is going to be a big boom for our hotel tax.
He said the economic impact from the World Cup would be like having seven Super Bowls all at the same time. The extra $10.5 million comes on top of the $36 million funding package that the county has already passed. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 73 degrees. Looking lovely as we go overnight, dropping near 49 degrees. For Wednesday, nice sunny weather, high near 76. Wednesday night, showers moving in. We will have some wet weather through the overnight period, low near 54. For Thursday, showers could linger as late as 5 a.m. before moving out. 65 degrees for the afternoon on Thursday. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 42. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Again, right now we've got 47 degrees in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 45 right now in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, the Federal Reserve begins its two-day policy meeting later today with a decision on interest rates coming tomorrow. Now, while the Fed is expected to leave interest rates unchanged at this meeting, traders will be looking for the accompanying statements as well as the Fed officials' latest projections on the economy for clues about the outlook for interest rates. The Fed may also choose to address President Trump's new tariffs amid investor concern about the impact that it may have on the economy. And NASA says that a pair of astronauts who have been held up on the International Space Station since last June are expected to return to Earth this evening. Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore were forced to stay on the ISS for 9 months after they encountered technical issues with their Boeing Starliner spacecraft. Upon arrival, NASA and Boeing had found a number of helium leaks and thruster issues on the spacecraft. The astronauts are expected to splash down off the Florida coast just before 6 p.m. this evening. On Wall Street, stocks head into today's trading following gains on Monday. And that's Your Money Now.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3 and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Hey there, Delilah, what's it like in New York City? I'm 1,000 miles away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Times Square can shine.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay as he is out of town this week. Andrew has been camped outside of Tom Brady's house demanding a fourth un-retirement, but he's had no luck in seeing Tom, as Tom is probably sailing around on a yacht somewhere in the Caribbean. But anyways, as soon as he figures out that Tom is not home, he will be back next week. We look forward to it. And Walker Wilson with the Downtown Improvement Board, happy to be here this morning. And I wanted to talk a little bit about March Madness. I know that a lot of folks are filling out their basketball brackets, and we will probably all by Friday, late afternoon, not have any teams left, hardly, or, you know, the perfect bracket that we thought we would have, John, is going to be quickly disappearing.
Probably. That's usually my luck.
Yeah. So, you know, they just came out with the bracket on Sunday during Selection Sunday. We had the SEC had 14 teams that got into the tournament, which is a record.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. I know it's upset a lot of people, but, you know, you're not in the SEC, so whatever. So, yeah. John, you're an Ole Miss guy.
Right.
And they're in the tournament this year, trying to see here on this bracket where they are located.
We face the winner of San Diego State and North Carolina.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's a play-in game.
And UNC, North Carolina, that was controversial of them getting into the tournament because people thought, you know, they didn't have the best record to get into the tournament and that they shouldn't have maybe made it in. They were the last team to get into the tournament, and their athletic director actually sits on the board that decides, you know, the bracket and what all the seeds are. So there was controversy there.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he said he stepped out of the room when UNC right. was discussed.
Conspiracy theories.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun. Yes. So let's see here. My Auburn Tigers, I'm an Auburn alumni, graduated in 2011, the year of Cam Newton, which was a glorious senior year of college. They are the number one overall seed. We had some, we'll call it speed bumps at the end of the regular season.
The SEC tournament? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And we lost to Bama, we lost to A&M last two games of the season, and then went into the SEC tournament. Won our first game against Ole Miss, yes, our John, and then lost to Tennessee, who then got blown out like everybody else to the Florida Gators, who won the SEC tournament championship, and Auburn won the SEC regular title championship. So you've got two SEC champions in the bracket. Florida seems hot. Everyone's big on Florida. So can, you know, are they going to be able to continue this momentum into the tournament? And I know that St. John is kind of the other, the number two seed. Florida's the one seed in their section of the bracket, their quarter of the bracket. And so you might see that matchup coming down the line. Who you've got in the Final Four, John?
Well, I got Auburn, Florida, of course.
Okay.
But then at that point, I just start going, I don't know.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because watching those two teams play, especially Auburn against Ole Miss, I was like, you've got that one kid, Brom, that can just, I think that's his last name. I can't remember exactly. That one kid that can just take over a game. For Auburn.
Oh, Janiah Broome.
Yes,
yeah,
that one.
Yep. And he's up for beast. National Player of the Year against Cooper, is it Cooper Kupp or Cooper Flagg? I can't remember. For Duke. I know. I should know
Cooper
that.
Cooper Kupp is a football
player. Yeah, so it's Cooper, okay. Cooper Flagg. Or yeah, it could be Cooper something else. I don't even know. But. So they're up for the Naismith Player of the Year award.
And you can tell why.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh. I saw it firsthand.
Yeah. And the kid on Duke, I think he's a true freshman or a redshirt freshman. So he'll be back again, I would imagine, at least one more year before going into the NFL or the NBA draft. And so you would think that they're going to be pretty good next year going into the season. As well, depending, you know, no matter how they do in this tournament, which I think a lot of people are thinking they're going to make it pretty far. They're in the same side of the bracket as University of Alabama, which has had a good season, but I won't spend too much time on them as I am an Auburn alumni. So we always look for a Cinderella story, John, and there are some teams that are, you know, kind of making the waves on those, you know, Cinderella runs, those 14, 13, 10 seeds that might, you know, pop up out of nowhere. Have you looked at it? Do you know of any of these teams to keep your eye on?
Oh, or, man.
No.
No.
That's okay.
I haven't filled out my bracket completely, but...
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So some people are saying South Carolina might actually be one of these Cinderella teams. Again, you know, they kind of struggled. Well, South Carolina's, I think they're actually not in it. Or I can't remember. LSU and... No, I think it is South Carolina, not South Carolina. Who was I thinking of? Arkansas. That was it. Arkansas is a 10 seed. And so they're thinking they might make some noise. They had some big wins in the SEC this year. They're, again, on the same side of the bracket as University of Florida, St. John's, who's a 2 seed with Calipari. Not Calipari.
Didn't Calipari go to Arkansas?
Calipari went to Arkansas. That's right. Calipari's at Arkansas. And then the coach of St. John, who was the Louisville coach when they won the national championship. And I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But he's been an extremely good college basketball coach. And everyone's kind of looking for that matchup to come back. And I'm going to have to find it here in a minute. Rick Pitino. That's it. Rick Pitino is the coach. So... we could get that matchup in the second round of those two kind of facing off, where they were big juggernauts back in, you know, 10, 15 years ago with Louisville and Kentucky when they were the coaches for those teams. And so it'll be exciting. I love this tournament. You always do get, you know, kind of these random upsets against some of these good teams, you know, i.e. Auburn last year losing to Yale in the first round, which was pretty awesome. So we'll see kind of who those are, and we'll run through a few more of these when we get back from a break, and we'll figure out if we're going to have the perfect bracket or not when it comes.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
If you've got a business, you've got employees. At least if it's growing, you do. And dealing with employees is great, but you also want to make sure that you don't have to frustrate yourself with the headaches of business ownership, like payroll, like human resources, like dental insurance, vision, life, disability, health, all of that stuff. And look, if me talking about that stuff is like, for you, you just gets you nervous and upset and you don't want to think about it and your eye twitches, like, I'm sorry, but that means you should do something different. And if it doesn't, if you're super happy, then great, ignore me for a second. But if there are issues, or maybe you just want to find out if there's a better way to do it, call Torgerson Causey. They're a locally owned and operated comprehensive employee benefits agency. We've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 7 years now, and they made a tremendous improvement for me and my family over what we had before. Better customer service, better answers, choices in plans that we didn't have before. All around, they're fantastic. No obligation to have them look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Week Air Home Hotline, you're on with Woody.
Hey, Woody, have you ever heard an air conditioner this loud?
No, but the good news is Week Air has more than 10 years in business and thousands of positive reviews, so our HVAC, plumbing, and electrical teams can get it fixed and fast.
Thanks, Woody.
No one cares like We Care. Schedule online at wecareheatandair.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. This is Walker Wilson filling in for Andrew McKay. He is out this week on spring break, and he went over to where he thought MTV spring break was going to be at Club La Vila. He's still, no one's told him yet. He's waiting outside to be let in. They closed down a few years ago, and MTV also has not hosted spring break in Panama City in years. But once he figures that out, he'll be back. He'll join us here on the air. But until then, you've got me. So we were talking, John, a little bit about the basketball tournament coming up. We were talking about some Cinderellas. And so some that I've been looking at here on the list is High Point, which is a 13 seed playing Purdue. People are saying, Purdue's best player is hurt. And so maybe here's an opportunity for a 13 seed to kind of come in, maybe face Clemson in the second round, and then facing most likely Houston. But other people are saying on that same side of the bracket in the Midwest section that Gonzaga might be, as an 8 seed, kind of a Cinderella story. So it seems like maybe that's kind of the side of the bracket we're going to see some of these lower seeded teams make it through and go through a few rounds here. You've also got VCU, which is historic, kind of all over the place. As far as seeding goes, this year they are a lower seed at 11, and they're on the same side of the bracket as Alabama, so they might have to face a tough Alabama Crimson Tide team kind of early on. But if they could get past that, you know, maybe they've got a shot at making a run. Also looking at the South region, where the one seed in the South is Auburn, the two seed is Michigan State. With Auburn's struggles, folks are concerned about, you know, are they going to be able to get it together and really make a run in this tournament? And if not, then that kind of opens the door for some of these lower seeded teams to come through. So you look at a Louisville, you look at a Creighton, you could even see Yale again, ruin Auburn's chances at making a deep run into the NCAA tournament. And then you go out to the West region, where Florida's the one seed, St. John's the two seed, and Memphis and Colorado State, I think, is a big game. That it's a 5 seed versus a 12 seed. A lot of people are watching that. With either of those kind of coming out of there, making a little bit of a run, and then eventually most likely facing Florida, either in the Elite Eight or Sweet 16, to try and continue their run through the end of the playoffs. So It'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. You know, is the SEC as good as everybody says? With 14 teams in, you know, the most teams that have gotten in for any conference ever in the history of the tournament, can they hold their own and make a run here? We'll see. And maybe not. Maybe they're not as good as everybody thinks they are. And so who knows?
Looking over the bracket, yeah. Troy, the Sun Belt Conference champion, yeah. Troy has a tough first game.
Right. Yeah.
You're playing Kentucky.
Yeah.
For your first game.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting. And Troy, they might have a tough go, but hey, they're there. They were in Pensacola playing down at the Bay Center.
Right.
And, you know, what a awesome event that is, and that special that we have it here in downtown Pensacola at the Bay Center. I know they just signed for another 5 years to stay here, which is exciting. And You know, you go to the first couple games and the crowd's kind of thin because it's a Tuesday, you know, Wednesday right. in the middle of the week. And so it's tough for people maybe to get down there on a school night to go to a game at 5:30. And then the second one, I think, didn't start till 7:30 or something like that. So I went to a couple of those during the week and I didn't get out of there till 9:45. I was like, oh, I can't do this in the middle of the week again.
Right. But it was still great basketball.
It really was.
I mean, we had a couple blowouts, but we also had some really good come down to the wire games, that was really good.
Yeah. And they had an interesting bracket the way it was set up, and where you had the top four seeds, the top two seeds, which was South Alabama and I think it was James Madison. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to play until Sunday, so that all they had to do was win the semifinals and the finals, and they would have won the tournament, right? Both of them lost to the 3 and 4 seed, which was Arkansas State and Troy. And Troy ended up winning the tournament, and so they get an automatic bid. Whoever wins that tournament, the Sun Belt Conference at the Bay Center, they get to go into the big March Madness bracket and get a shot at, you know, the big prize that everybody's looking for. But you had all these kind of lower seeds leading up earlier in the week that were playing, and so the competition was extremely close. I think there's maybe one game that was an extreme blowout. I think it was Old Dominion got blown out, or they beat somebody by a lot and then lost the next game. I can't quite remember, but it was something like that. But it was very good basketball to go watch. And then you also had the women's side of the tournament that was playing as well down at the Bay Center. So they had four games every day from Tuesday through Monday when you had the two championship games, of course. But, you know, it's really cool that Pensacola's got that and that we've got it for another 5 years.
Fun.
Yeah, it is so fun.
It really was. I mean, I went almost every single day and I just loved it. It was just awesome.
Yeah. So, again, we'll see how that goes. I heard in the news that South Alabama, they got an invite to the NIT tournament, which is kind of the, you know, next rung down of schools, not the big March Madness bracket, but the kind of the next group of folks down. They got invited to the NIT tournament, but then got uninvited because the NIT had asked another school to come, but they didn't respond in time. And then that school responded and said, yeah, we are going to come. And then they called South Alabama and said, actually, you're not coming. I was like, oh my gosh.
I need to know.
Do we have deadlines for a reason?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So. We'll go over to news and we'll be right back with you.
David? So we have also vendors in the area whose bills haven't been.
Okay. David?
All right. We'll get with David. We'll get with some news here in a second from David. But again, we've been talking about the tournament. And again, David, I think, is ready for us over in the newsroom.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin are expected to speak today about ending the war in Ukraine. Trump has said that today's discussions will center on land and power plants. Ukraine, of course, has already agreed to a 30-day U.S.-backed ceasefire proposal. Files related to the assassination of former President John F. Kennedy will be released later today. President Trump was touring the Kennedy Center yesterday. He said an 80,000-page report is going to be released. And damage assessments continue across the South and the Midwest in the areas hit hard by those storms here last Saturday. Right now, the death toll is up to at least 42 as states are still working to recover from the multiple tornadoes that touched down. The hardest hit, it looks like, was Missouri, where 12 people were killed.
Now, David, I expect a bullet points of all the 80,000 pages by tomorrow, okay?
Is that it? 80,000 pages?
Yes, I need it summarized. You know, that way I just get the Cliff Notes version. I always love Cliff Notes versions.
Well, sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
I will have that for you, John, on your desk, bright and early tomorrow morning.
Well, you know what? That's service, and he even had a smile. Service with a smile.
There you go.
I love it.
There you go. So we'll wrap up here, but I think, you know, this tournament's going to be very good. Starts Thursday. You got games Thursday and Friday. They get a couple days off, and then I think they roll into the next round after that and have this second round wrapped up by the end of the weekend. Then you go the following weekend into the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. I did have someone text in, don't count out Tennessee, and I don't think they're wrong. Tennessee's got an awesome, awesome team. I think it's gonna do very well in this tournament, so we'll see how it unfolds. But good luck on everyone's brackets, and we'll be back with you after the break with State Representative Alex Andrade.